The New Testament Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 1 through 14. Some countries have a state church. Let's begin by talking about historical state church relations. These are basically of four kinds. First, there was the Catholic relation, where the church rules over the state. The purpose of the state, then, is to suppress heresies, that is, different theological systems. Then there was the Protestant system, in which the state cooperates with the church. The state, then, enforces Christian morality. In contrast, there was the Anabaptist or Rebaptist system, which keeps the church and the state separate. This is built on a doctrine of freedom of conscience, that is, of what we will believe, and of association. Anyone can start new churches. And more recently, the communist system, in which the state rules over the church, dictating which doctrines can be taught and what churches are allowed to practice. Do you recognize this handsome man? The Epistle to the Romans was probably written in or around AD 57, at the time ruled by an emperor named Nero Claudius Germanicus, who lived between AD 37 and 68. His governance was well administered, focusing on diplomacy, trade, and Roman culture. As regarding non-Roman citizens, of whom many were slaves, though protected and admitted to civic events. Persecution of Christians occurred after the Great Fire of AD 64, since many of the Christians were non-Roman citizens and mere residents of the city. In some nations today, religion rules the state. Reading Romans 13, verse 1, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God." Well, to be subject. The verb means to keep putting oneself under another's rule. Authority, exousia, is the lawful right to rule. God instituted it. This is a perfect tense verb, meaning He did it in the past, and it continues to the present. Well, a few words about human government through history. We understand that human government is ultimately responsible to God or to a religious system. A country may have a constitution, or the highest court of appeal may be the clergy, that is, religious leaders. Under these, there may be a legislature passing laws or issuing decrees, with courts intervening, whether these be judges or ayatollahs. At the executive level, there may be a prime minister, a president, or some kind of a caliph. These enforce their rule through the military or police or various kinds of militias. Day to day, we are supervised by regulators or some form of deep state, who send out inspectors and who punish us by prosecutors. Well, at the same time, there is a parallel inhuman government, which is ruled over by the devil, who is called the god of this world, who has some kind of authority over other gods or demons or cosmocrats, which are worshipped as gods. Humans have to deal with demons from day to day, who are called rulers and authorities in Scripture. These whisper to various kinds of globalists who establish secret societies, including banks, who have issued fiat currency, creating a national debt, which must be paid by taxpayers. These include both legal and illegal cartels, which are militarized criminals, or some kind of mafias, organized criminals, and from day to day, under threat of gangs, that is, local criminals. Even churches have to deal with ecclesial governance, the top authority being the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, who send out angels as messengers and protectors, through whom we received Scripture, including laws, statutes, and judgments, requiring us to exercise our conscience, our freedom of belief. Locally, we are guided by elders, that is, respected spiritual guides. In families, husbands are required to love, provide, and protect their households, and wives manage those households and often operate businesses. And then, as they become parents, they train and correct their children. Well, besides these various forms of governance, there are also forms of social control, often hardly conscious. Of course, there's family, parents, and siblings, correcting the younger ones, who soon develop friends, peers, and as they grow older, perhaps in taverns. And our neighbors exercise control over us, often because we want to keep up with the Joneses, and a form of governance in the United States called Homeowners Association. Most youth and all adults develop various kinds of associations, which include churches and clubs. Then we must deal with banks, lenders, and financiers who determine how we will use our income. And from day to day, our desires are formed by advertisers and media influencers, and at least during part of the day, employers, bosses, and workmates, besides the cartels, gangs, and criminals who harass us from day to day. Well, what's going on in this picture? What kind of resistance is this? Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Well, we were told in an earlier verse to be subject. The Greek term, hypotasso, means to put yourself under. God has appointed our authorities, here called diatage, meaning to put through or to put into place. The first term here, to resist authority, is antitasso, setting ourselves against the authority. And the second word to resist is the Greek term antihistemi, meaning to stand against. Well, this incurs judgment, meaning legal condemnation, which may lead to some kind of fine or sentence. Well, what has this poor chap done? Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you wish to have no fear of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive its approval, for it is God's agent for your good. So in this text, what we're dealing with are issues of doing human good or doing human bad. Rulers, the archons, are all kinds of officials. We fear them as we fear fire. We use fire, we like fire, but we don't want to be burned. And whilst we love God with all our heart, we fear him, which keeps us from doing evil. Well, how do officials approve us? Well, tacitly, for they will seldom speak to us, but they are God's agent. The term here is diakonos, elsewhere translated deacon or servant. What is this Roman sword? But if you do what is wrong, you should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. Yes, the police do wield their weapons. It is the agent of God to execute wrath on the evildoer. Verse 5, therefore, one must be subject, not only because of wrath, or the fear thereof, but also because of conscience. We want to please God. Well, wrath includes both God's wrath and the government's wrath, anger or punishment. And our conscience is the knowing of good and evil. Genesis 3:22 says, "The humans have become like one of us, knowing good and evil." And in Romans 2:15 we read, "Their own conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts will accuse or perhaps excuse them on the day of judgment." How is government supported? Verse 6, "For the same reason you also pay taxes, for the authorities are God's agents, busy with this very thing. Pay to all what is due them, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due." Again, government is God's agent, but here it's a different Greek word, leitergos, which usually means some kind of religious worker serving God. Paul will say in a later chapter, "The grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel," using the term leitergos. Well, a few random thoughts before we continue. We try to remember that submission to authority does not mean approval. We often must submit to some incompetent, if not wicked, leaders. This is because submission implies faith in God. That is, if I am submitted to his authority, he will protect me. And then, every authority replies to another. Lower level, crooked or incompetent leaders will eventually have to answer to others. Meanwhile, the authorities usually protect us if we remain peaceful, understanding that religious authorities are often the most evil, for it is they who will drive government to punish us for our beliefs or even our kind deeds to the poor. Therefore, secular authorities are usually preferable. We do not want to live under any kind of a government ruled by religion, even our own religion. We believe that constitutional republics are the safest for most citizens. Therefore, Christians must pray to remain safe, that we might lead a peaceful and godly life. Well, continuing then with verses 8 through 10, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 10, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Well, you shall love your neighbor. This is a Hebrew idiom. We might translate, "You must love your neighbor as yourself," that is, as you love yourself, not pretending that our neighbor be ourself. And the law here is literally a fulfilling of law, not a particular law. According to Jesus, our neighbor is anyone in need, and love does no wrong. Our activities involve effort. Verses 11 through 14. "Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is already the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers." Time, literally season, is a long period, whereas moment, literally hour, a shorter period. Wake here is a metaphor, meaning the coming resurrection from death, which will be our final salvation, for a new day is dawning. Verse 12, "The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." That is, let us walk decently, as in the day, not in reveling and in drunkenness, not in illicit sex or licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Ephesians 6 says, "Take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day." That is, when governments turn evil, as under the Antichrist. The armor include truth, righteousness, the gospel, and strong faith. To walk, then, is to obey Jesus' commandments in our daily behavior and in our believing community. These sailors perished the next day in Pearl Harbor. 14. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Well, how do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, this is a metaphor, meaning we show others how to obey Jesus. And why? Well, because he is the Lord, the one whom we obey. Provision, literally pronoia, means forethought or the laying of plans. And the flesh, that is our natural body or self, and our desire to commit sin. And which desires? Well, we have legitimate desires, but here we mean lust or illicit desires. Well, for next time, please read Romans chapter 14 in any language or version of your choice.